full and kind of putting our thoughts on what we have to be thankful for. And I don't know about you, but I imagine you are thankful for the gospel. I am so thankful for the gospel and God's transforming power. I mean, just think about it. How amazing is it that all of us, because of our sin, the sin that we all share, we were far from God. We couldn't know him. Our sin separated us from God. And as punishment from our sin, our sin brought with it a punishment of death and separation from the Father. And yet Jesus came and lived a perfect sin-free life on our behalf and then died and paid the punishment for us. When he died on the cross and experienced separation from the Father, he did that for you and I. So that when we put our faith in him, when we acknowledge what he did and believe what he did for us and put him in charge of our lives to follow him, then we can now know God. Our separation from the Father has been taken away. We can know God, experience God, and walk in relationship with him and experience the fulfilling, life-changing power of God in our lives and experience this new life with him. It's amazing. It's an amazing truth that we all live out. Because of the gospel, we are different. You are different today because of the gospel and what the gospel has done in your life. Gospel power, Jesus, the power of the Spirit through the gospel has done in you. You have a different purpose in life. Like you're walking a direction, and because of the gospel, now it's all changed. Your identity is changed. You are different now. Your identity in Christ is different than you were before. Your purposes have now changed. Your goals in life, the direction of your life, what you're living for has changed. It's so new that Jesus called it being born again, like having a new life. Like the old life is over, like that life has ended, and being born again into a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. So here we are as believers in Jesus Christ, being transformed by the Spirit, living new lives because of the gospel, and yet we live in the same old world we were in from before. Our setting, the world around us, is still living for the same reasons, the same purposes, and chasing after the same things, and identifying themselves by the same metrics, and yet we're transformed living in the same old world. So we've been going through this series, In Christ with Others, talking about how our relationship with Christ is meant to affect how we relate to others around us. That our relationship with Christ isn't just merely an internal me and God thing, like that's just a private me and God and that's it. But it's meant to have an effect on those around me too. How I relate to Christ, my relationship with God and Christ is meant to affect how I relate to others. And today specifically, we're talking about how our relationship with Christ is meant to change how we relate to the lost, the people still living in the world who don't yet know Christ in the way we do, haven't experienced the life transforming power of the gospel applied through the Holy Spirit in bringing into relationship with God and the transformation and fulfillment that comes with that, relating to those who are still living according to the old reasons and the old going after the same old things. Those outside of faith. So how are we meant to relate to the world? And often it kind of falls in one of two camps. I mean, I think they're both kind of wrong. One camp is, well, the world is sinful and they're on the path of destruction. Therefore, we want nothing to do with them. We don't want to get drug into that. So we need to create our own separate Christian culture that's different from the world. We'll kind of create a Christian version of everything so that we don't have to talk with people of the world, so we can have our own version of stuff, so we don't get pulled away into what they're doing. So we should be completely disconnected and separate from the world. That's one extreme. The other extreme might be like, well, honestly, we should just blend in and merge and just be completely in the world. Like our lives, you're going to look a lot the same in your life. It's just, you're going to look like the world. We just live the same old way as we always did. And then when you die, that's when God will sort it out. So which is it? You know, is it complete disconnect? Is it just blend in completely the world? What we're going to see is kind of something in the middle. And Peter addresses this very issue in his letter, 1 Peter, that he writes to the church, first century church. And so if you got your Bible or there's bulletins there, and in your bulletin, we've written out the passage is in there. And we're going to kind of mark it up. So it might be good to use your bulletin on this one. Those of you home at Zoom, our passage this morning, it begins with 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 9. And we have a chunk, and then we're going to skip ahead to another chunk, talking about Peter's addressing how do we as believers live in a fallen world. And so he starts this in First Peter, pastor starts First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read this out to kind of create the setting of what he's talking about. All right, First Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But you, he's talking to the church, believers, us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So here's starting off kind of saying who we are in Christ, this new identity, this new citizenship, that you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. So it's like you have citizenship into this new kingdom, this kingdom of God, and you've been called out of darkness and into light. So we have this new identity, new purpose, new citizenship in Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 11 then. So living that out, verse 11, and this verse is where we're going to get our central truth, where we're going to begin our message is from this verse 11. So he says, dear friends, in light of all that, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. So from this verse and what's leading into what's to follow, our central truth is this, and your first fill in the blank is this, that we are called to live as gospel-centered representatives of Christ's kingdom to a fallen world. That was a mouthful. Let me say that again. We are called to live as gospel-centered representatives of Christ's kingdom to a fallen world. Notice he says, he addresses them. He says, hey, you are all now foreigners and exiles. Like, this is not your home. You're from another place. No, that's not true. They were from that place. Their birth was from that place. But he says, now you are foreigners and exiles. You're strangers here. This world that you live in, this is not your home anymore. You have a different home, a different citizenship, a different place is your home. So it says you're sojourners, you're travelers, you're just passing through. Your time here in this world is just a temporary time where we're here for a bit until we go to our real home in heaven as citizens of Christ's kingdom. You know, in a similar phraseology, 2 Corinthians says that we all live as Christ's ambassadors here. Think of what an ambassador does. An ambassador is a citizen of one country, but he doesn't live in that country. They move to a different country as a representative of their home country. So an ambassador lives in a foreign country to represent to that foreign country their home country. And that's how the Bible talks about us as believers, as citizenships in the kingdom of God here on earth, as an ambassador, as representatives of Christ's kingdom, to live out these kingdom principles and live in a different light, in a different way in this fallen world that we're in. And I want to point out, this is a gospel-centered life. It's a life centered on the gospel, where our lives have been transformed by the gospel. Like, our lives are different because of the gospel. As we started this message, we talked about how great it is, what the gospel has done in our lives. Well, now our desire should be to see others experience that as well. If God has done that in us, wouldn't it be so great if we did it with others as well? So Jesus lived a life of compassion for the lost. He was always looking for the lost and showing compassion to the lost and calling people to himself. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, those things should matter to us. That mattered to Jesus, reaching the lost and expanding his kingdom. That should matter to us. Again, it's not like, oh, faith is just an individual thing. I got my faith. I don't want to bother them. They do their thing. If they want to have faith, they can have it. If they don't want to have faith, that's fine with them. I don't want to step on their toes. You know, it's fine. They don't need to have, you know, they can do them. If Jesus isn't their thing, that's no problem. I want to leave them alone. I don't want to bother them. And we kind of explain away like that. But let me ask you this. Aren't you thankful somebody shared with you? Aren't you thankful that someone shared the gospel with you? Like, think, who was it that invited you to church or shared the gospel to you with you and pointed you in the direction of Jesus? Aren't you glad they did that? And you get a chance to be that from someone else, to bring that joy, to bring that life change, to point people to Jesus, to experience the truths of the gospel and life transformation in relationship with God. So let's do that. Let's prioritize as representatives of Jesus Christ, prioritize living our lives to spread the gospel, with our new life purpose of spreading the gospel to those around us, sharing love and drawing people with compassion into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what we're supposed to be about. If we're called to live as foreigners here, as ambassadors here for Christ's kingdom, to live a gospel-centered, live as gospel-centered representatives of Christ's kingdom here in this fallen world, what does that look like? So that's what I want to focus on now. What does it look like to live for the gospel? Like if every morning I get up today and get up and say, today I'm going to live for the gospel. I want to live for the gospel today. What would it look like to do that? And so to live as a representative of Christ's kingdom here. Let's keep going. First Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read now verses 11 and 12 about living out this gospel life. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, remember this is not our home, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Instead, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So first way we live out the gospel in this passage is to, and this is our next fill in the blank, is to live, we show the gospel in our actions. We show the gospel in our actions. And the way we live, we show the gospel by living good, living such good lives. In your book, in that verse, in verse 12, take your pen and make a box around live such good lives. See in verse 12, it says live such good lives. Make a box around that. Make a little box in there around that to highlight that, because that's the central part of this, is to live such good lives. Usually we think of, when we think of spreading the gospel, you're probably thinking, oh, great, Tom's going to say I need to tell people. That's so hard. Well, wait, we'll get to that. But I think what we think usually sharing the gospel is merely, I need to just tell everybody all the time. And it's just about what we say. And we don't think about what we do. And when this part gets left out, boy, does it turn bad. When we're not living the truths of the gospel and we're just ready to tell everybody, put everybody in blast about the gospel, then we miss out. It doesn't go well. So he starts by saying, so how do we live in a lost world as a representative of Christ Jesus? He says, live such a good life among them that when they see it, they'll praise God when he returns. It'll result in the praising of God by us living a good life among them. So the choices we make, making right choices in our lives, living out these kingdom principles, living a good life. And I'm not talking good like, comfortable, wealthy, like that version of good life, but morally good in the way we live. You can think of the people in your life, those who are really good and those who kind of aren't, you know, those who are quick to say something negative about someone else. They're always ready to pile on. Somebody's down, they're ready to kick them, you know, that sort of person. And then on the other side, there's the people who are life-giving in their words, who build people up, who believe the best in people and are encouragers, who are supporters and helpers, people of compassion. So if we're going to live for the gospel, it's not purely just what we say, it's also what we do and how we live our lives, showing empathy and compassion, being ready to forgive, being generous people, being loosely grounded in the things of this world and more always attuned with the things of heaven, living that out. City Lights Church, each one of you represents Jesus Christ and his kingdom here in Long Beach or wherever you are at the time. You are a representative of his. Like, you're wearing his jersey. Like, you represent him in our world. At your job, you represent Christ. In your family, you represent Christ. In your neighborhood, on your block, in your building, whatever, you represent Christ. Everywhere you go, as a citizen of his kingdom, you are a representative of his to the world. So what would it look like to live like that? To say, hey, I'm representing Christ right now in my choices and how I carry myself and how I respond in these circumstances that are difficult or whatever. When I'm on my last nerve and I'm ready to go off, I'm a representative of Christ right now. Called to live, to show the gospel in our actions. Notice he says, abstain from sinful desires. While everyone else in the world is running after desires and what is king is desires, instead of living a different way to abstain from those, to turn from those sinful desires, to be different from those in the world. And notice it says the sinful desires that wage war against your soul. Wow, that's dramatic language, right? We don't think of the sin that way, but sin is waging, your sinful desires in you is waging war against your soul. There's a war going on in your soul between the Spirit of God and your sinful desires. So don't be fooled into thinking, oh, sin's no big deal. It's just a me thing and God will forgive it. And it's not that big a deal. And it's just fine. Well, I'll win the next one and just not worry about it. No, think of, there's a war being waged between your sinful desires and the Spirit of God. So it's not some harmless thing. So notice here in this living good, there's kind of two aspects of this, this gospel living, how we show the gospel in our actions. There's the don't do's and the do do's. So the don't do's is avoid those sinful desires. So we know all the lists that we're not supposed to do. So it says, yeah, focus on that. Don't do the things we're not supposed to do. Abstain from the sin that's so common in our world. Abstain from it. The don't do, but also the do do. And live such a good life among the pagans that though they may see God, they'll praise it. When they see God, they'll praise you. Or when they see God, they will praise him for what they've seen in you. So there's a don't do's, don't do the sin. And the do do's, do all the stuff we're supposed to do. So it's kind of both sides of it. And often we think, you know, oh, I don't have to, you know, mostly my walk with God is just I avoid the sin and whatever happens. Well, that's part of it, but there's more. Or we think, oh, you know, whatever I do in private, it's just a sin thing. That doesn't affect anybody else. As long as I make a good choice, you know, doing the stuff I'm supposed to do. Well, no, it's both sides of it. It's the avoiding the sin and living such a good life. Also with your pen, underline among the pagans. So after it says live such good lives, then underline among the pagans. And that word pagan, don't think like witchcraft and occult. That's just a word for someone who's not a believer in Jesus. That's just a term they use. So don't get thrown by that. That's just someone who's lost. Someone who doesn't know the truth of the gospel yet or hasn't responded to the truth of the gospel. So he says, not only live such good lives, but live such good lives among the pagans. Do it in the presence of the lost. Be visible in our faith. Go ahead and put your faith out there in a way that would be seen and acknowledged. And this also means have a relationship with non-believers. Like, is there anybody in your life that sees your walk with God that could have impact and draw them in faith? Because we get so insulated in our Christian community, and that's great. I'm all for Christian community. But where is our evangelical side where we're having an impact on those who are lost? Are there people in your life that can see your good deeds and praise their Heavenly Father for them? So living in relationship with non-believers, but then actively living out faith in Jesus, living out this good life. Okay, so we're called to be to live as gospel-centered representatives of Christ's kingdom in this fallen world, and we do that one by we show the gospel in our actions. Then later in the letter, Peter says a second way. He continues this in chapter 3. In chapter 3, he continues this, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. So after that, he said that in chapter 2, then he talks about living out such a good life and what it looks like and a lot of that stuff. And then he gets to chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, and he says this. This is the next section on your bulletin there. Verse 15 of chapter 3. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Okay, so as a representative of Christ's kingdom, first it was a show the gospel in our actions. Now this adds in to share the gospel with our words, to share the gospel with our words. So yes, we live out the gospel, but we also need to be ready to talk about the gospel, to share the gospel. Notice it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. As you live different, people will notice. As you prioritize different things and you take part in different things and you abstain from different things, they'll be like, eventually someone's going to ask, hey, why? What's up with all that? And be ready to talk about the reason that we have, the hope that we have, the reason that we live different. Be ready to tell why you live your life different, to share the gospel truth that changed your life. So now I want you with that pen, put a box around in this one, put a box around, always be prepared. Use your pen and put a box around. This is the central part of this one. Always be prepared to stay ready to talk about, why you live your life different, why you're representing another kingdom. So when people ask, we need to be ready to talk about it. We need to be prepared. So how do we prepare? How do we be ready to talk about it? Always be prepared. How do we do that? Well, there's two parts of it. One, to know what Jesus has done in your life. That's your testimony. to be ready to share your testimony, to tell your story of what he's done in your life. To rehearse it, to be ready, to keep it on the tip of your tongue. So if someone asks, you're like, oh, I'm ready to tell. Say, hey, well, Tom, I noticed when you do, you don't do this, then you make these different choices. Oh, let me tell you why. And be ready to share what God has done in your life. I know each one of you has amazing testimony of God's transforming power. And some are very, dramatic, and others may be more subtle, but they're all amazing, because that's when someone who's lost is found. Someone who's blind can see. Someone's walked from darkness into light. They're all amazing stories of God's transforming power. That word testimony, don't get thrown by that. That's turned into Christianese. Christianese has adopted that into its own, into our own language. But think of what testimony outside of Christian circle means. When would you give a testimony? Judge, right? At court. You got called forward to give a testimony. If you get called forward in court to give a testimony, what are they asking you to do? They're asking you to tell the truth about what you've experienced, what you saw, that's it. All you're doing is telling the truth about what you've experienced. You don't need to be the expert witness. You don't have to analyze the DNA. You don't have to do anything more beyond tell what the truth of what you've experienced. You're not enhancing the story. You don't need to add in. You're not supposed to add in any extra stuff. It's just telling the truth about what you've experienced. Well, this is the same story, same idea when we're sharing our testimony. It's just telling the truth about what we've experienced. You don't need to be the expert witness. You don't have to have all the answers. It's just purely, here's what God did in me. Here's what I saw, and here's what I've experienced. And what's so beautiful about that is your story, it's so disarming. We're going to try to convince someone into the kingdom, then the people on the other side, they like to plant their feet. If we're going to try to pull them in, then they're going to plant their feet, and it turns into this back and forth. What changes all that is you just tell your story. It's disarming. People love to hear stories. It's not combative. It's easy. It's just, here's what I experienced. Very simple, right? Telling your story. So we need to be ready to do that, to know your story, rehearse it, have it on the tip of your tongue, looking for opportunities to tell it as soon as any chance you get. So that's one. So be prepared, is to know your testimony, and two, know the gospel. Know the truths of the gospel, the basic truths of the gospel. We started off the service with them, that we are all sinners. And because of our sin, we're separated from God. We don't experience this relationship with God because of our sin. But yet Jesus came and lived a sin-free life and died for our sins, to pay that punishment, to pay that price for us, so that when we put our faith in him, we are now forgiven and can experience a relationship with God. We get to know God. And it's in that knowing God that we can experience life fulfillment and life change, the thing that's made a difference in each one of us. So it's just being aware of those simple truths. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all separated from God. But Christ came and died for those sins to pay the penalty for that. When we put our faith in him and trust him, then we experience forgiveness and restored relationship with God. And in that relationship with God is where we experience fulfillment and life change that everybody's looking for, right? So just understanding the basics of the gospel in a simple way, whatever helps you do it. Some people like the Romans Road. There's four verses in Romans. You can Google it, Romans Road. That takes you through the gospel. That's one way to do it. I like to have it more just natural instead of, oh, hold on, let me grab my Bible. I'd rather just be able to talk about it. But whatever works for you to remember the truths of the gospel in a simple way, to be able to tell why the change, why you are different. So that's in addition to your story. I think your story is the power here. And then these truths of the gospel support why it all has worked for you and will work for them as well. Okay, so we got to always be prepared, be ready to talk about it, have it on the tip of our tongue and ready to share. And then not just that, but underline now, after always be prepared, later on in verse 15, underline with gentleness and respect. Notice it said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But that's not it. There's something else. But do this with gentleness and respect. Wow. Is that bolded and capped in your Bible? It's not. It's not in mine. I wish it was. Like, I wish in our society today that was bolded and capped. Like, yes, the gospel is important. We need to be ready to talk about the gospel and give the reason why, but with gentleness and respect. Like, those two things sadly are left out right now in this conversation in our society, gentleness and respect. Gentleness, truly wanting the best for the other person. Like, doing this out of love for them and out of compassion for them. Like, not trying to drag them in, but we're not saying it's hell or this, you know, but instead be out of gentleness, being gentle with them and respecting them in the way we speak to them and the way we treat them, the way we honor them as intelligent, thoughtful people that need life change. So it's different, right? To do this with gentleness and respect, because we could do all this, be ready to share the God, tell our story and ready to share the gospel. We forget the gentleness and respect part. And it's like, oh gosh, here they go again. No, but if we're motivated by love and true care and compassion for that person, it drives the message in a different way. And it comes across to the person. People know if people are hypocritical or just trying to check a box and rather than truly caring about that person. So when we do this, we need to be ready to do it with gentleness and respect. And there's some of you right now that are probably saying, oh, great, this is one of those messages where the pastor tells me I need to share my faith more, and then I'm just squirreling in my seat, and I'm not going to do it because I just don't like doing it, and I have a hard time with it. Well, what's beautiful in this passage, he addresses two different things that that get in the way of this, that prevent us from taking this step of faith of talking about what God's done in our life. And so let's look at those two things now that address why we struggle with sharing our faith. First off, it says keeping a clear conscience. So circle that one with your pen. Circle that. Keeping a clear conscience. Circle that. This is important. Keeping a clear conscience. Nothing will undermine your witness more than a life that's given over to sin. If you're walking in sin, you're not going to be effective in sharing your faith. Now, this is not an excuse to say like because of if you have any sin, therefore you can never share your faith. Well, then no one would ever share their faith, right? Because we all have a struggle with sin that God is transforming and bringing about victory in us. But so I'm not saying that if there's sin, don't even bother sharing your faith. What I am saying is if you have accepted sin in your life and you know it, when it's time to share your faith, you won't do it. When it comes to go, you're gonna be like, oh, yeah, I'm not one to talk about this. Here, let me give you my pastor's number. You know, not that I'm perfect either. I'm not, none of that. But, you know, we do that. We think, oh, that's a pastor job. I can never do it because I'm still struggling. Hey, we're all struggling, but God calls us into this. But the idea of keeping a clear conscience, of knowing that you're walking with God and knowing that you're striving to be with him, and yes, there's struggles along the way, we can have a clear conscience with that. When we're willfully walking in sin, that's when our conscience, the spirit in our conscience, is convicting us. And when we're in the midst of that conviction, when it's time to share your faith, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm not the person for this. I'm going to pass, you know. So, hey, let's work on keeping a clear conscience. Remember about resisting sin? It's important so that we're ready to share our faith so that when it's time to go, we won't have that lingering, I'm not the one to do this because of my sin. And so that was one reason that we often don't do it because of sin. So we need to keep a clear conscience. And two, finally, notice it starts with, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Put a star next to revere Christ. Star that phrase, revere Christ. This is first, and this is critical. If you want to be an effective sharer of your faith, you know, you need to have Christ first in your life. If you don't revere him, if you're not amazed with him and honor him, and like, then we're not going to want to share our faith. Like, we need to focus on setting aside Christ as Lord, revering him, growing in our intimacy with him, growing in our walk with him, submitting your life under his lordship. As we're walking in close communion with God, with our hand in his, revering Christ, man, that's when we're experiencing the amazing truths of the gospel and transformational power in our lives, right? That's when it's really good. That's when life is good spiritually, when we're walking in close communion with God. And when we're experiencing the goodness of all that, dang, we're ready to talk about it. I want to talk about it, not because I'm supposed to, because it's so darn good. If I go to a great restaurant that I have such a great meal, you know what I want to do? I want to talk about it because it was so good, and I want other people to hear about this restaurant. If I watch a movie that was like, oh my gosh, I never saw the ending come, it blew my mind, it was so good, I want to tell people because it was so good. I want to share that with people. Well, same with our walk with Christ. We need to revere Christ as Lord, because as we're doing that, we're experiencing God and experience the goodness of him, and because of that, we're ready to talk about it. And I think the reason a lot of us don't want to talk about it, can we forget that the good news is good news and we think it's kind of bad news? It's like, oh, yeah, you won't be able to do the stuff you like to do, and it's kind of hard, and yeah, they don't want to hear it. I'm going to pass on this opportunity to talk about why my life has been different. So revering Christ as Lord. So that's critical to all this, to focus on our walk with Christ, walking close with him. So then it's not about convincing people. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so great. We would just share naturally. We're looking for opportunities to share because of what God has done in us. Okay, let's wrap this up. In conclusion, so our relationship with Christ, it's meant to affect how we relate to others. And specifically, I want to focus on what we focus on today is how we relate to the lost. Like there's people around us who don't know Christ, who are lost, who are blinded to this truth and are still walking in darkness rather than the light of Christ. So we're meant to live as representatives of Christ's kingdom. We're supposed to live for him as representatives of him. And we do this twofold. We do this in the way we live, by living such a good life among them, and by the words we share. They always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. And I want to end with this thought, that God has a purpose for your salvation more than your salvation. Like when he saved you, he drew you, he reached into the muddy pit and pulled you out. And when he did that, there was a bigger reason for that than you. It wasn't your salvation. God's purpose for your salvation is more than your salvation. I would argue that he did that not just for you, but you are a representative to a whole people group. There's a circle of people that you are uniquely positioned to represent Christ to. He's put you in relationships that people that you care about and people that care about you, so that you're uniquely positioned to talk about this, to live this out and talk about these truths, to have impact on them too. Is it possible he saved you by his spirit, not just for you, but for those around you as well? Like there's a purpose greater than your own salvation. And again, aren't you thankful someone shared with you? That someone took, they had the courage and they took the time and shared with you. You get to be that now for somebody else. You get to draw them in. You get to share the wonderful truth of the gospel that you're living out in your life with others so they too can know God in that same way. So closing question is this. Who are you meant to represent Christ to today? Who are you meant to represent Christ to today? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for new life in you. Thank you for experiencing, giving us the experience of life in the light instead of in the darkness. I'm so grateful. And God, I pray that we would be ready to share that with others. We would show that in the way we live this new life. We'd be ready to talk about the source of our new life as you. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to the needs around us. You would help us to see the lost as you see them. Help us to not fall into thinking like, oh, they have a nice car and a good job, then their life is fine. But instead, be able to see the bigger picture and to see people as you see them. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to be ready this holiday season to live out these truths and be ready to talk about them. Thank you so much. I just can't wait to see who the next people to come to faith through each one here will be. Thank you. I pray you'd be at work in us and through us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.